Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much for tuning in today. What a great day ahead of us and some great guests ahead of us. So listen, everybody, you can find us here and tune in to BBS every Monday and Wednesday at 2 o'clock Eastern time and all over. We're in so many places, aren't we? It's so many places. Right. This tune and that tune and every play tune, right?
So exactly.
All right, so listen, if you're
iTunes, Anchor, BBS.
You got it. So listen, if you're an expert or an authority or have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural or spirit world, we would like to know about it. And you can, all you got to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and put in your information there and we'll get back with you, right?
Yeah, probably to be a guest on the show.
All right, great guest today, right?
Well, yeah, but you always leave this part out, Jay. Make sure to follow us on Facebook at Spiritually Raw and also join our Facebook group, Secrets to Radio Riches. You had it one show away.
You had it in small print.
Oh, it got cut off,
Who was going to read that? I mean, how was I going to find that?
You know, yeah, you got to put your glasses on one.
All right.
So we do have two great guests today.
More importantly, let's talk about our guests, right?
Let's do that. Claudio Morgan is a published author of two novels. The Decadence of Our Soul is about how we become better human beings through meditation, introspection, and faith. And also Water Entanglement is about what happens when water awakens and starts punishing us for our misdeeds. This is going to be interesting. First up, though, we have Tippi Fezelstein. She is the author of The Advocate for a More Powerful Life and Spiritual Awakening from the Heart of Jerusalem to the Hollywood Elite. Tippi tumbled between a plan to succeed and the punches that forced her off track. The abuse grew too big and she gave up on wishing for the one thing to end it all and just die. But guess what? You need to really be careful what you wish for because you may just get it. The law of attraction does not need you to believe in it in order for it to function. Her wish came true and death was knocking at her door. She is also the author of Wake Up and Plan for the Roses.
All right, let's welcome Tippi to the show.
Hey.
Hey. How are you, Tippi?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you? I'm alive, so that's good enough.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So what happened there?
So what happened was I wanted to die for a really long time, but I was not going to kill myself. I just wanted to die. So when you want to die, your life is not very happy. And if you do research on people that get into car crashes, people that get hurt, most of the time it's people that are in a really bad mood and really ticked off at the world. So my car, which was almost new, was like 6 months old, just stopped working. The brakes stopped working, and I was on Highway 23 in California. Are you familiar with that area?
No.
No, can't say that I am, no. Mm-mm.
It goes from Ventura to Santa Clarita Valley to Magic Mountain. And another name for it is Death Alley, which was weird. I didn't know that. Mm. But it's called Death Alley because a lot of people have crashed off that freeway and the mountains are very steep on both sides. And that's when my car decided to stop working. So when I realized that the brakes were not working, which was really a split second that I was thinking about it, I wanted to make sure that my car crashed on the divider of the highway because that way it wouldn't go over the mountain. And as I tried to steer the car towards the divider, I realized that my steering wasn't working either.
Oh, my God.
So, and I was in the car with my two kids who were at the time 6 and 9 years old, under 10 years old. Mm. So my car went over the mountain and tumbled down about 6 times all the way to the bottom.
Oh, my God. And your kids were in the car?
And my kids were in the car. And I'm going to admit something. Yeah. I was not wearing a seatbelt.
No.
Which basically meant my body became a big ping pong going boom, boom, boom down. And I had 68 fractures just from my hips up to my neck.
Hold on. There's so much to unpack here. But I have to first ask, why did you want to die to begin with?
Things were not things were really, really bad for me on all levels. I was getting a divorce from hell. I was alone. I was raising two kids. My babysitter was making twice as much money as I was. Nothing was working out. And my ex made it his mission in life to make my life miserable. Mm. And it was my kids that I was really, really worried about, that they would suffer. And obviously they did. But it was just everything that can possibly go wrong went wrong. Everything. And I just didn't have the energy. I felt, it wasn't really true, but I felt like I was alone in the world. And that in itself, what I just told you, is enough, but there was more. But I just was in a really painful, horrible place.
So you go tumbling down the mountain.
Six times he has tumbled.
Yeah. So you feel you manifested that?
I didn't do it on purpose, for sure. I definitely did not want to do that. But it was on my birthday. And the weird thing was, it was on my 40th birthday. And when I was 19, I was watching a yoga thing. And the lady that was doing it, she was 40 years old. She was a big movie star. And she was looking at her body and she was like, if I knew my body looked that good when I was 40, you know, I wouldn't think 40 was old. And I don't know why, what kind of crazy thing went into my head when I was 19, but I said to myself, you know, if I die when I'm 40, I'm good. Because at 19, 40 is really old.
Right.
And that happened on my 40th birthday. Mm. And it wasn't something like I walked around my entire life saying I want to die when I'm 40. It wasn't like that. But the way events kind of unfolded for me, it was as if when I was 19, I kind of set the way so that when I was 40, that was going to happen to me.
How did your children make it through the accident?
Well, my kids did have seatbelts on. I didn't. The older one that was 9 years old was sitting in the back seat and she was asleep and she had the lap belt on and her head was up against the window. So her head kept crashing on the window every time we turned. So her head split open. But other than that, nothing else was hurt.
Were they traumatized?
And, yeah.
I mean, for a long time. Are they over it now?
Now, 8 years later, yeah, they're over it. They're doing good. But the older one was very, very traumatized. And I think it's called PTSD.
Yeah.
And she went through a lot of hell, but she's doing much better now. And she's fine. And she's not swollen anymore. Her face was swollen for about 5 years.
No kidding,
huh?
Oh, my
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah, she's lucky. She's lucky she didn't have brain injury to the point where it affected her whole life.
How about you? You had 62 bones broken?
Fractures.
Yeah.
And I had also my T11 was cracked in the back. And I was a mess. And the doctor said that I should prepare myself. Usually people that hurt their back, they never really get over it. They're in a lot of pain. They probably usually need surgeries. They're not like really 100% functional. And I couldn't see myself being on a wheelchair raising two kids alone, plus handling everything else that I had to handle. And that was not an option for me. But the doctors and the nurses, you know, they try to be nice. The book that I wrote was not so much about the accident itself, which is a whole long story by itself. It was more about what I learned from it. And the main thing that I learned from it is the things that I actually almost predicted that was going to happen before it happened. And I didn't do it on the positive. I did it on the negative because I was 19, I was stupid. And then later on, I was going through so much. And it made me start thinking about what would have happened if I would have planned a positive outcome. What if I would have planned positive things? Since what I planned happened, why don't I just plan it on the other side? Mm. And I started doing that. I started doing that with the fact that I didn't want to have my back hurt. First thing I wanted to do was heal my body.
Yeah.
So the first thing I write about is how to do that. I don't have any pain now. I mean, sometimes my back will feel a little bit uncomfortable because it is what they call I have sclerosis. When one of your vertebrae breaks, your spinal cord is never going to be straight again. So it's always going to have a curvature. I have a little bit of pain, but if you saw me the way I walk, you wouldn't know it.
That's amazing. Congratulations for that.
Tippi, tell us, so do you think that, you know, speaking of the law of attraction, do you feel like this is something that, you know, negatively you attracted into your life then?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm 100% sure that I did.
Now, let me ask you this thing, because you have two different thoughts here, and we have a lot of people on the show that talk about law of attraction, and then there's those that say, okay, well, you know, it takes a really, 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 really long time to attract the negative in your life. You know what I mean? And, you know, because you're kind of like...
It took me 20 years.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, that could be true. She started at 19.
And now what's it like now? I mean, are you able to harness... Now, you just mentioned earlier, made reference to the fact that, you know, you think about good things. But now, what are some of the things that you're noticing now that have just made an impact for you that you feel are more of a positive thing?
So that's what I wrote about. So the first thing that I did was make sure that I wasn't going to be paralyzed. And the interesting thing is that once you make a crazy decision like that, which is totally crazy, you know, here I am in a hospital with all my broken bones. Like I had about 30 seconds when my heart and my brain did not work. So I was technically dead for a few seconds. Mm. And it was almost like I came back and I said, no, whatever. God, I really didn't mean that. I don't want to die. I have two babies. I have to raise them. It was almost like that kind of thing. So the first thing is getting myself healthy, and how much control we have over our body is so much more than we think. You can call it the law of attraction and you can call it your own personal power, but our body listens to our mind so much more than we ever even give it credit to.
That's really true. So how do you explain to people the law of attraction does not need you to believe in it in order for it to function? How do you actually get through that thought pattern to people?
So the thing that's missing in a lot of the law of attraction teachings, like The Secret and all those, is the fact that, yes, first of all, you have to believe it. But if you don't bring it down to the physical level, if you don't take action, if your body is not physically doing something towards it, it's not going to happen. Because it's if it's a thought that you take no action, if there's no utility in it, then it's a dream. And a dream is a dream. But if you want to take the dream and bring it out into your physical world, you have to literally do it. It's like the same thing, if you know, with witchcraft, what they do is they make a spell, but then they bring it down to the physical level by rituals and by all kinds of different things they do. And most of the time, their things work. But it's not like a witchcraft type of thing that only witches can do. It's something that we do. If I teach you something today, and I tell you, you go tomorrow and you do, and you visualize yourself, whatever it is that you want, and you go home and you just visualize it and you never take action towards it, it's never going to happen. Because if you visualizing going west and you're actually walking east, you're not going to end up in the west. You're going to end up somewhere in the twilight zone between east and west.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, exactly.
So that's really the clincher, is the utility. Everything that you learn, if you don't sit and say, okay, how am I going to utilize that in my life? And what action am I going to take towards that? And it doesn't have to be brilliant Einstein type of action. It could be anything. If I say I'm going to write a book, I can sit down and write the dumbest, stupid little paragraph, grammatically wrong, that nobody's going to want to read. But it's my beginning of writing a book. I'm starting to do it. Then of course, I'm going to learn how to do grammar. I'm going to hire a good editor that might edit it. And all those things that you do, you're going to end up with a book. But if I say I want to write a book and I take a nap all day, then it's not going
to
happen.
So what do we need to do to get this rosy future of our dreams?
First, you have to decide what your dreams are, which is one of the things that people are very confused about. Like, do you want to die? Do you want to live? What do you want to do? And then just take action right away.
So do you think that not taking action, I mean, is probably the most important element that is really keeping people from getting their dreams to come true?
You know, it's not necessarily the most important. It's a formula. It's like an ingredient. If you want to make a scrambled egg that is spicy and you only put a scrambled egg with no spice in it, then you're going to get a scrambled egg that's not spicy. You didn't follow the entire formula.
I love her analogies. She makes it all make sense.
Scrambled eggs analogies. Yeah, she's good.
Sorry, go on.
So it's the same thing. And I have an entire chapter that I devoted in my book to utilize exactly that, how to take the action. So if you don't visualize where you're going or what you want to do, it's like getting into a car and driving 100 miles an hour and not knowing where you're going, right? So you have to know where you want to go, and you have to be very clear about what you want. If you want money, then it's money you focus on. If you want to be happy, then it's happiness. If you want wisdom, it doesn't matter what you want. You have to be clear about what your life is about. And that happens to be a pretty painful process to a lot of people, because these days people would rather play on YouTube and on their phone than think about what they want out of life. So I think it's really challenging today for people to even do that part.
Okay, hang tight, everybody. We are going to come back with Tippi after a word from our sponsor, so don't go anywhere.
Make 2020 an incredible year. Live the life you desire in your relationships, your career, your financial freedom, your health. It's all possible. Shari Hobson, an internationally known psychic counselor with over 20 years of experience as a karma and past life analyst, helps you move your dreams into reality. Her energy work in clearing and releasing blocks is being recognized by spiritual leaders and doctors from around the world. Clear your path to your purpose, passion, and potential. Book your session today at SherryHobson.com. That's SherryHobson.com.
To go where no mind has gone before with Michael Telstar. Michael Telstar is a master remote viewer and holds 7 world records in escapology. Learn to remote view and become the ultimate psychic detective. Find lost objects, locate treasure, and missing persons. Master of mentalism, Michael Telstar is making a special appearance at the Mega UFO Conference February 15th to the 22nd at the Aquarius Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. Join him as he amazes you with his entertaining demos to bend metal, levitate objects, and so much more. Michael Telstar is available for events and seminars on remote viewing, out-of-body adventures, and lucid dreaming. Connect with Michael Telstar at 437-234-7713 or MichaelTelstar.com. That's Michael, TelStarr.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. We are with Tippi Felsenstein, right? Yep, yes. Hope I pronounced that right. So, hey, before we get you, Tippi, on the break, we want our other guest here, Claudio, who wanted to chime in, and he had some comments. Claudio, are you there, buddy?
Yes, I'm here. Good, so, Tippi, just by listening to your story, I can tell that you are a much stronger person today, and congrats for that. It takes a lot of energy to come back from such a challenging situation. And also you mentioned about, you know, setting up a goal, and I totally agree with what you said. And people who are listening, you guys need consistency. It's not enough just to set up a goal. You need consistency on a daily basis to reach that goal. And when also Tippi mentioned that some of you might, you know, rather watch Facebook or a movie or something else, you give away your power to that individual, to that show, to someone else, instead of holding on to your power, holding on to your own energy, and using it for your own project and reaching your own goals.
That is so well said, and it's so true.
Right on, Claudio. Thank you for jumping in and chiming in there, brother.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. And we'll be hearing totally more audio here in just a little bit. And
not only do I agree, that was totally me. I would spend time just listening to everything everybody else said, reading another book. There's nothing wrong with reading books, but at one time you have to take the book and see how does that apply to your life, or listening to another speech or getting motivated. How much can you do that if you're not going to do anything about it? Absolutely.
So how do we go, Tippy, from, you know, and again, I know this may sound redundant, but how do you go from the victim role to the creator of your life? I mean, what specific steps did you, because you went through a lot, you know, and you're still recovering from that.
How do you snap out of it?
Yeah, what do you do to really snap out of that?
It's kind of like David Goggins says, and he uses a lot of curse words, and he says, you really gotta do the shit that hurts. And there's no two ways around it. There's no other way around it. You really gotta get in there and just do it. It's a question of, are you gonna pay the price now and do it? Or are you gonna pay the price for the rest of your life and not have it? The price is gonna be paid one way or the other. Mm. You've gotta be willing to pay it now.
Mm. So you had also mentioned before break, really figuring out what it is that you want. What exactly do you want? Where do you see your life heading?
Wow, that's a good question. I usually don't talk about that completely, but I'll tell you the most important thing that I want now is to be able to get the wisdom to be a good learner, to be able to follow the things that I want to do, not to be lost in the land of what do I want next or what other people think I may want, just to be wise enough to know my directions. Like if I had a genie come to me and tell me, can you have anything you want? What would you want? I would want the wisdom to know the steps that I take, that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to get things wrong. I don't have to get it right. I just have to know that I'm okay with where I'm going. And I want everything. I want everything that everybody else wants. I want to be comfortable. I want to be passionate. I want to, when I make someone else's life good, it gives me such a high, you know?
Good for you.
That's nice. That's really nice.
So what about your faith now? How does faith play into your life?
I believe in God, but I do not believe in religion.
Can you have one without the other?
Yes, absolutely. God does not belong to any religion. God belongs to us. And I think religion messes it up so that people walk around and are afraid to say, I don't think God is a man that sits in the sky with a long beard and pulls our strings. I don't think that that's what God is. But religion just plays games with people about it. So I think religion is messed up.
What do you think God is then? If he's not the man in the
God
beard.
God is our creator. Mm-hmm. I think it's an intelligent force that is responsible for the intelligent part of the universe. There's such brilliance in creation. I mean, even our brain itself is more sophisticated than any computer that has ever been created. Every part of our body works in such amazing synchronicity. Somebody must have created it. It couldn't have just... It's like saying... there's this beautiful painting and the cat just walked in the room and spilled the ink and just created a beautiful painting. It couldn't have been created by itself. So the intelligent force of nature that is everywhere at all times, to me, that's God.
So do you think, quote, God is a singular or a plural? In other words, do you think it's one entity or is it a group of entities?
I don't think God is an entity. God is the intelligent force of nature. God is the creator. God is what makes the atom, the proton and the electron go around the neutron. It's the cohesive element of nature. It's not an entity. It's not a human. I don't even think we can begin to comprehend how big and how amazing it is. It's the creator of the universe. And it's the creator of our life. It's the intelligent force. And we have part of that force inside of us. And that's what makes us brilliant.
Do you think then, essentially, would that make us also mini-me's of God?
Yeah, God created everything and he created us. Then everything is part of God. A rock has energy that God is within that. An atom which everything is created out of atoms, right? And if God controls the atom, it keeps getting that electron and proton going around, then we are God too, because we are also made of atoms.
Good point. I think Claudia, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think TP and I read the same books. with what she said.
Do we have a match here on Spiritually Wrong?
I think it was divine intervention.
Do we have a match?
Put these three together.
We need to exchange profiles, seems like. Hey, I didn't bring it up. Hey, you attracted this.
To make another comparison, a scientist recently, a known scientist, I can't remember his name, but I know he has some weight in the scientific community. He mentioned that us being the result of evolution is like a tornado going through a airplane cemetery and putting together a 747.
Exactly.
It's quite unlikely that, again, we are the result of evolution and we are not created, especially that at one point in time, our DNA sequences changed, and whoever who read Greg Braden and Bruce Limpton, they can confirm that these are scientists who determined that and put forward this type of ideas.
Right on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Audio, thank you.
It's about time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's about time that science and spirituality are...
It's starting to be acknowledged
more.
So what's your thought?
The dots are connected.
You know, I've always thought that too. I think that, Tippy, tell me if you resonate with this. I think the biggest mistake that we as humans make is that we lose sight of the fact that we are the gods and goddesses. And I don't mean that from a worshiping standpoint. I mean just from the impact that we can harness that creator within us. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I don't think we lost sight of it. I think inside of us, we all know who we are. But life and other people trying to control us or trying to get our resources have been able to repress that so that we're not really aware of it on the conscious level.
What's your thoughts on neuro-linguistic programming, NLP?
It's actually a part of what I do in my coaching. I love it. I learned it from Tony Robbins, and it's a tool. It's definitely a tool, and it's a helpful tool.
Did you do the firewalk when you...
I did that three times.
I did that three times. Isn't that something?
Oh, it was awesome. It was amazing. I actually interviewed him in the snow. He did it once at near Penn Station in Manhattan.
Yep.
And I interviewed him, and I'm jumping up and down. I was like brand new at it. I'm jumping up and down and interviewing him. And I walked on it, and I was one of 10 people out of 400 that got blisters. I didn't get burned. I got blisters on my feet.
Aw, it's amazing that more people don't. It's still kind of surprising.
It's crazy. I did it like three times. It's weird.
It is cool.
But you know what it is? You got so many. You got hundreds and... maybe wherever you're at, maybe possibly thousands of people just chanting you on.
You know what I mean? It's the energy
while
probably.
You're in there. It's like, you know, you just can't move back. That so
Tippy, real quick, what do you think some myths are about success that may be holding people back?
I don't think it's myths. I think it's negative. What do they call it? Limiting beliefs and negative self-talk and listening to what other people are saying. So if I think that I'm a brilliant writer, and I use writer because I love to write, and I write something and I give it to my mom, and my mom is like, oh, stop wasting your time with that. Go learn something more practical. Or the second time I show it to my sister and she takes it and flushes it down the toilet. Then I start to doubt myself and think I'm not that great. And that's what would limit me in the future. Even if I could be the most brilliant writer, I'll be afraid to write with that limiting belief driving me, because our brain is like a program. And if we have a negative program, we manifest a negative life and a negative attitude. But that program can be changed. And sometimes it's hard, but the price for not changing it is so much harder and so much bigger.
There's that passion. That's some passion there. So, Tippy, real quick here, before we go to our next guest, can you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and what's also up next for you? in your life?
So next I have my new book that everybody's been asking me to write, which is called The Accident, which I go into detail on what the accident is about. To get the one that I wrote, Wake Up and Plan for Roses, you can go to my website, which is tippytalk.com, tippytalkshow.com. It's T-I-P-P-Y, talkshow.com. And I have my book on there too. And if you want to contact me, you can contact me through there. Or you can email me direct at tippytalkshow@gmail.com.
TippyTalkShow@gmail.com. Very nice. Got a nice little ring to it.
I know, doesn't it?
Hang tight, everybody. We got to take a word from our sponsor. Tippy, thank you very much for being on the show with us. We certainly enjoyed it. So anyway, we'll be right back with our next guest, Claudia Mergen. Hang tight, everybody.
Thank you.
Step into your authentic self and find genuine power with Gina Gardiner, number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, empowerment coach, and transformational leadership trainer. Gina suffered a serious accident at 29, leaving her paralyzed and learning how to walk not once but twice. It's not the challenges which define us, but what we do with them. You are not broken and you are enough. Gina has dedicated her life to helping people recognize that you have a choice to be happy, to be successful, and to live life full of joy and fulfillment. Access your inner resources to live life fearlessly. Find your true purpose and feel self-confident. Connect with Gina Gardiner at genuinely-you.com. That's Gina Gardiner at genuinely-you.com.
Welcome to the world of Jeff Dawson, 35-year road construction veteran to a multi-genre author whose books range from a true love story of his soulmate to a historical perspective of vampires versus the Third Reich. Jeff's unique perspective on life and the way he dealt with the back-to-back tragedies will amaze you with eye-opening revelations. Lose yourself in Jeff's books, such as A Terror at the Sterling, Love's True Second Chance, and Final Delivery, and so much more. Visit Amazon.com and get copies of Jeff Dawson's books today. Jeff's books also make great gifts and great stocking stuffers.
Shirley Ennebrad knows firsthand how to cope with the range of emotions, uncertainty, and grief, both during illness and worst-case scenario, after death. To help others, she's authored two grief books, Over the Rainbow Bridge, the story of her young son, Corey, and his inspiring journey as he battled leukemia, and Six World Lessons on Coping with Grief, 100 lessons to help you and your loved ones deal with loss. To purchase her books, go to www.shirleyennebrad.com. All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much.
You were sleeping on the job there, Jay.
I was checking my phone.
Sleeping on the job.
That's important. I was getting back.
Up next, we have Claudio Mergen. He developed a workshop called Refocus Pathless Life Through Dependent Spirituality. He is the author of The Decadence of Our Souls and Water Entanglement.
All right, Claudio, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Actually, welcome back and welcome back again. So we kind of already got to know you a little bit there, but... So how did you get into water, and what is your into this water, and what is your background?
My background is in fact engineering and computer science, but I always loved to write. I've been writing since age of 11, and I moved to Canada from Romania when I was 27, and I still try to write and. I'm going to get into a law of attraction story similar with what Tippy told us. So I attended a book signing event in Toronto, and Terry Goodkind, the famous fantasy writer, was about to sign his books, and I walked to him and I gave him the book and asked him a question. At what age did you start writing? And he said that when I was 45. And my first thought was, oh, my God, so old. So I was 27 at that time. So I think God punished me for that bad thought, because starting next day, I wasn't able to write one good paragraph. science fiction or fantasy until I reached 45.
Huh.
It was just unbelievable. My creative juices came back when I reached 45. I was able to write In the Decadence of Our Souls. It took me a couple of years because I wasn't in a rush. But it shows that thoughts and words are very important in our daily life. And we have to be very careful what we think about ourselves, what we think about the people we meet, and the words we tell them. We tell our kids, our family members, and we tell ourselves when we look in the mirror. So that for me was a moment, kind of a cornerstone moment in my life when I realized at 45 that, wow, what have I done to myself when I was 27? I kind of missed so much time when I could have written maybe another two or three books.
What do you think triggered how did you get out of it at 45? What happened that triggered your mind to be like, you know what, I can write?
I don't know. Maybe it was a subconscious thought that now I'm out of that kind of punishment, in between quotes, and I can go back to my path and my career as a writer. And it just came to me because this idea from The Decadence of Our Souls, I had when I was 17 years old. I wrote a short story about it, and then I forgot about it. And then everything came back to life, even the title. I wrote a story called The Decadence of Our Souls 30 years ago, and I completely forgot about it. And my mom, by mistake, found that notebook and said, do you want me to throw this away? And I asked her, can you read me what's the title? And she read the title for me and said, you know what, that's the title for my book. So 30 years later, I put two and two together, and the result was just unbelievable.
That's incredible.
You talk about being punished, and you mentioned it a couple of different times there. So is that what you truly believe? You really do believe that you were punished, or do you, has God punished you, or do you believe that you actually bought this onto yourself?
I use punishment or the word punish because I don't have a synonym at this point. But it's not a punishment per se. It's just something we kind of trigger on ourselves if we are not careful what we think and what we say. And again, it's what we put out in the ether comes back to us. So again, if we think something bad about a person, we judge that person, or we say bad words about him, then that will reflect bad on us as well. Because I am the conviction that we are all one. As we discussed earlier, God is within all of us. So when we disrespect someone else, we disrespect ourselves. When we disrespect that person, we also disrespect God. And an idea which kind of chased me for a long time was people think the national pride, say, okay, my country is the best country in the world, my people are the best people in the world. But then if you really believe in God and in a higher divinity, you are saying that everything else God created or the divinity created is not at par with what he created in that part of the world where you're born from. So it's kind of a unbalanced thinking about the world surrounding us and how we perceive God and divinity.
That's really nice. So is that more coming from The Decadence of Our Souls or The Water Entanglement?
Decadence of Our Souls is a fantasy book with a tinge of spirituality. And the idea in the end is what happens if all the souls will raise up, will be called by God, and the earth will be void of human life, or almost void of human life, only pure souls will remain, and the animals, and they can start building from scratch. Is that decadence which has to vanish or diminish in order to for the human species to move on with a different level of consciousness. So throughout all my writing, you will see that the awareness and consciousness, different level of consciousness is what triggers us to move forward and survive as human species. Because right now, with this type of thinking of scarcity, we won't go too far.
What do you think is more relevant today? Do you think it's more religion or spirituality, the way people are looking at things?
I am with Thipi on this one. It is spirituality, because it doesn't attach to any religion, to any particular dogma. And people don't understand that in this particular case, it's important to reach God, reach the divinity. How we get there could be a personal choice. So I don't have to go to the church and pray. I can pray at home. I might not need an intermediary for that. God will hear me no matter what. And at the church, the teachings are not explained properly. The meaning and the translations over the years, thousands and hundreds of years, have been distorted. So you don't have someone, even if they studied religion, they went to school, to university, and become priests. I don't think, in my opinion, and I apologize if I offend anyone, but I don't think all of them have the understanding of the right understanding, the right meaning of the teachings from the Bible or from other holy people. They just, as Tippi said, they want to manipulate, because on Jesus' time 2,000 years ago, it wasn't a church per se. It wasn't something structured. It was just teaching.
So do you think that it's just gotten distorted or polluted or mistreated?
Of course, especially hundreds of years ago, people didn't have the knowledge, that they were not educated, and it was easier for the elites to keep them down by and in fear by just mentioning any type of teachings or any type of statements that they're coming from God.
Do you think that's still going on today?
At a certain level, yes.
Tippi, are you still in our virtual green room?
Yes, I am.
All right, there you go.
I wanted to say something about religion, which people don't think about. When you have the leadership, like the priests or the rabbis, who are raised on a certain teachings, and then they want to improve on whatever they raised, so they go further into it, but they're really going further away from what it was meant to be. Like, they want to be even better. But if you raised on a few principles that are not really spiritual and not going in the right direction, then every generation gets further and further away from it by the new leadership having learned what they learned from the last generation and then trying to improve on it when they've already gotten it a little bit wrong to begin with, if there was people that wanted to manipulate, if there were people along the way that wanted to do things that really weren't in alignment with their spirituality.
So is it kind of like taffy? It's just being stretched and stretched and stretched mm-hmm. and stretched?
Yeah, let me give you an example. Like in the Jewish religion, let's say, they have this thing about having your hair after your bone on the side. So you shouldn't shave your hair off past that bone. And then the next generation came along and said, let's add another inch to it. And then the next generation after that said, no, we'll be even better than that and we'll add another inch. And then now you have the Jews walking around with these long things dangling on their side, which isn't necessarily bringing them spiritually closer to God. That's just one example, but there's millions of them.
Claudio, I want to get back to you on this one here. And speaking of, you know, setting aside teachings and whatever you believe or don't believe, do you think there's something to be said when you have, call it a church, a synagogue, whatever, a temple, that you have hundreds of people actually sitting together for one specific purpose, regardless of the teachings? Does that give any energy more towards that source, or do you think it's you'll get just as much if you're privately sitting in your room?
People do get energy from meeting other people at the church, and some of them really believe in God, and they believe in what they pray for. What bothers me is that they leave the church, they leave that, let's say, sacred space, and their behavior 10 minutes later goes back to what was before them going to the church. I expect people to really implement those teachings, respect their neighbor, love their neighbor, do all these things which will improve their lives and which will give an example, set an example for everyone else around them. So this is how I try to, you know, live my life through spirituality, not necessarily religion. Because again, spirituality talks to everyone at the same level, the same approach. And people, I think, are more open, especially young people, are more open to spirituality. They don't believe, I found out that when I talk to younger generations, they don't believe in God or in anything else. And what I try to teach my kids is just at least accept there is an energy out there that you can tap into, an energy that can help you. But even then, it's very hard for them to say, okay, so I don't have free will. I have to wait on someone else to help me out. I want to decide my own path. So there is this back and forth, still duality in their mind, and they don't know what to choose. And they prefer not to tap into anything, either religion or spirituality, up to a point, I assume, until they realize in their own life that this is the moment when I have to...
Okay. All right. Hold that thought for me. We got to take a word from our sponsor. Our producer's giving me the evil eye here. So we'll be right back after a word. Everybody, hang tight. Okay. Come join the Ascension Journey in 432 HZ with Scott Howard as he brings a new genre of music to the world called Source Music. Music helping to raise the frequency of the world. To listen and learn more, visit his website at scotthowardmusic.com. That's scotthowardmusic.com.
Successful online, you have to have a predictable system that takes the visitor from just being a visitor to a buyer. Do you need more leads, customers, and sales? If your books and services are not selling and your business is not growing, then you need a website audit to get to the root of the issue. Get a free 20-point website and social media audit report today.
Hello. Welcome to the Ancient Future of Food. I'm Sky Cubby, founder of Medicinal Foods, your source for the highest potency, highest quality medicinal mushrooms, tonic herbs, living greens, which my daughter actually loves, 10 veggies, 4 grasses, fermented. We have the coffee break, which is a coffee substitute that actually tastes like coffee with chaga, reishi, and maca. And some amazing chocolate that has the Shaman's Blend, which gives it a mood-enhancing effect, and so much more. Check out our products at medicinal-foods.com.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. I know you said we're talking on the break here. You had another question for Claudia, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm interested. How did water entanglement come to be?
It was an interesting idea. I've just finished The Decadence of Our Souls. I've been interviewed on TV about my next project, and I didn't want to look dumb, and I said, you know what, I'm going to write about water. Because a friend of mine, she's a writer also, she's an limnologist, so someone who studied water, just published a book called Water Is. So I said, I'm going to find a new angle to write about water. So I turn water into a character in my book. Water is, again, alive. It's awakening. And she starts changing her molecular structure, affecting us and giving us the signal for, guys, you did enough to the earth. You pillage it enough. You have to stop. If not, I'm going to punish you very hard. So this is what the book is all about. I tap into Dr. Masaru Emoto's research, plus my own research from other scientists from all over the world. And it's a very interesting approach to water, which is a character.
That's a really great idea. I mean, water the character. So how does water have memory?
It was established already scientifically that water retains the environment's characteristics. So Dr. Masaru Emoto, for those of you who are not familiar with his research, he played different type of music, rock, rhythm and blues, symphonic, opera, close to water. And then he froze that water and got the molecule structure under the microscope. And the design was different from rock to classical. So it's a very structured shape, like hexagonal shape for classical music and kind of positive music, and distorted for the other type of music. The same with thoughts. If you tell water you love it, and if it has a very pristine, very crisp hexagonal shape, if you tell the water that you hate it, it's a muddy shape. And I did this type of test with my kids at home, and they realized that they said, water, I love you, water, I hate you, and to another glass of water with rice, they didn't say anything. They just disregarded it completely. And after a week or so, they saw how water developed different type of color, different type of smell by just feeling. Talking to water.
So before we drink water, we should tell it, I love you, water. I love you, water. You're so good for me.
Can you ask?
I'm going to start doing that.
Well, forget about that. Can you ask water to do things for you? Like, hey, water, I'm going to drink you right now. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can water be my genie?
I can tell you that on our container, water container under the sink, we have a reverse osmosis. And on that, I wrote gratitude. So water will change in a glass bottle, will change its structure if you just put a label on it with love or gratitude.
That's
amazing.
And there
are vendors out there who engrave these words on glass bottle, water bottles, and they sell them because they know the power of the words.
Well, you know, I saw them in a metaphysical store the other day. They
what?
Have... You know, water containers now with on the bottom of it, like it's the container, and contained on the bottom are crystals. So when you're drinking the water throughout the day, you have the energy of the crystal. So, and I thought when I saw them in the store, I'm like, well, that's kind of a cool idea, but not really thinking that there's really just so much more. So you're saying there's just so much more behind that theory.
Yes, it is. And in fact, in water entanglement, I use this combination, water and crystals. There is a main character in the book who suffers an injury, brain injury, and I embed crystals into his eyes, and then I drop structured water through the crystals. And that structured water brings back some of his brain functions, and again, with healing and with praying and chanting, he comes back. And then I take this idea further into Crystal Cloud, which is the sequel to Water Entanglement, and to be launched in May of this year. So then the crystal implants is becoming a trend, and everyone will do that because they think it's good, it looks good, and because they want to get to the next level of entertainment. Again, the instant gratification, which our society is very fond of. And in fact, they have a big surprise that crystal implant will increase their consciousness and their awareness and their connection with the divinity. And that will change everyone's perspective.
Well, hold on a second. I need to go back. So yes. Are you saying that this is something that's coming in the future, or are you saying this is an idea for a book that you have that you made up in your mind?
This is already written. I'm going to publish it in May.
Why would he tell you his ideas before he released it and somebody else would steal it?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, was this because he's scientific? So
no, I just thought about that. It's,
again, don't let April steal your ideas, man.
No, don't
let her do it. Don't do it.
That's not what I'm doing. You're nuts.
In fact, I wasn't sure.
It's a great idea, though. I mean, I could see.
I'm not taking the heat for it.
Have
if you take his
crystals
idea.
Crystals implanted in your, like, you know, imagine like your third eye or anywhere inside the body. I mean, so there could, I, you, what I'm saying is I could see
body.
That happening in the future.
It
you know,
happen, but we already have crystals in our body. The pineal gland has crystals. And this is how the mobile cells are functioning with the same type of model from the crystal in the pineal gland. So in my book, I implant the crystals on the eyes, on the retina, and then through nanobots, I connect it to the crystal in the pineal gland, because pineal gland activates the third eye, and then we connect to divinity. So this is how everything works in the next book, Crystal Cloud.
That sounds so cool. I'm definitely going to get that. And we'll have you back on for that for sure. I do have a question, though. So taking the same idea with the crystals in the glass and the one that I saw, it had a barrier between the crystals and where you'd put the water. But could we at home, if we have crystals, like most of us do, just take like a rose quartz or a clear quartz and actually put it in the water? Or would that offset too much?
You want to drop a stone in the water while you're drinking it?
Well, with a straw, obviously.
But wouldn't you want to clean the stone?
Well, it would be clean, obviously. I'm not going to...
Yes, you can do that. You can also put silver. At one point, I had silver in a big water jar, and we had my kids' friends over, and they're asking, why is that silver in the jar? And I was joking, so because we can afford it. But it was for a different purpose, you know, just to clean the water and give it some properties.
That's really, I love that idea.
Okay, listen, Claudio, we're coming down the home stretch of the show, so let's get our audience to know about this workshop you developed, a pathless life through deepened spirituality. So tell us about that.
Yes, I took the ideas from The Decadence of Our Souls. The main character is a six-year-old child who goes through different types of trauma. On this path to make the world a better place. And I divided it into four sections, and I'm trying to tell people that through spirituality, they can refocus their life purpose. They can gain their life purpose, because there are a lot of folks between 45 to 60 who are lost. They come home and they just grab a beer and they watch TV until they go to sleep. And then when they retire, that's even worse, because they have no goal, they have no desire to live. And they become a burden for their families as well. So I'm trying to tell them that with small steps at home, through meditation, introspection, and doing a little bit of have a process in place, they can refocus their lives. They can get this purpose, even if it's to take care of the neighbor's children, or to write a book, or take an interesting trip. Is still something which gives them purpose to wake up in the morning.
That is so well needed.
Claudio Mergen,
so well needed.
Yep, Claudio Mergen, everybody. Thank you, my friend, for being on the show. Really enjoyed this with you. Can you tell everybody where they can find out more about you and how they can get a hold of you and learn more about water?
Yes, more about me at my website, claudiomergen.com. I recently launched a podcast about water and environment with co-host Nina Montano at theageofwater.ca. I have the YouTube channel. They can find me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And the books are audiobooks on Audible, iTunes, also available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Wherever you can order them online, they are available.
All right, right on, buddy. Thanks a lot. So Claudio Mergen, everybody, check it out. And also I'd like to thank our guest Tippi Felsenstein for also being here with us. It was a great show. I most certainly enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Look up and I see stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. I look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Do we really exist? but a flame. A star burning out is the same. Come, look up and I see things have changed for me. Look up and I feel the ceiling has rearranged. Look up and I hear the dolphins cry. I look up and I just don't know why. We lost our way. Will we be here another day? Are these the end of days? Will we be here to mend our ways? To blame.